Good morning again. We're going back on the record again today. It's April 13th, 2017, and we are moving to the second item on the agenda, the high school and middle school replacement project. Let's hear from staff first on this. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name for the record?
My name is Jeff Smith. I'm a senior planner at the Department of Community Development.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I swear to tell the truth.
Thank you.
I'd like to include Exhibits 1 through 35 into the record.
Okay.
And then I'd like to include the revised staff report into the record.
Oh, okay. And I actually just have the revised one. So
okay,
did you want to include the first one in the record or both of them? Or
The second one is...
Just the second one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's the one I looked at. So 1 through 35 are all admitted.
Yes. And staff would like to include the PowerPoint presentation.
As 36?
As 36.
Okay, that also is admitted.
And the applicant has prepared comments on the staff report.
Okay.
And I'd like to include those into the record.
Okay, well, we'll give that exhibit number 37. Oh, 38. So, oh, okay, so you do have the draft staff report already as a... Okay.
Yes.
So 36, just to clarify, 36 would be the revised staff report?
Yes. 37 is the PowerPoint.
And then 38 is the applicant comment?
Correct.
Or on the staff report, okay. Okay. Smith, you can go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay. Again, my name is Jeff Smith. I'm representing the Department of Community Development. I've been over 20 years of experience reviewing land use projects. The proposal today will provide service to the Central Kitsap community for many years to come. The proposal is for a conditional use permit. It's to replace the existing Central Kitsap High School and Central Kitsap Middle School. The buildings were constructed in the late 50s and early 60s, so they surpassed their usefulness. The goal is to form a centralized and shared integrated campus. And the proposal is to construct the campus in five phases. And so at the same time they're under construction, they plan to maintain educational services at the same time.
So there won't be a temporary school during construction then?
Yes. The this request involves a prior conditional use permit where the transportation facility was approved to go to Dickey Road and their warehouse and their central kitchen facility. So that will help relieve some of the traffic on Anderson Hill and in the vicinity of the high school. So the proposal is for 1,400 high school students and 700 middle school students for a total of approximately 2,100 students. The request also involves the construction of associated sports fields, an auditorium, a gymnasium, additional off-street parking, and the proposed high school, middle school building will be approximately 290,000 square feet. There will be a career and technical education building, approximately 20,000 square feet. And there's an existing gymnasium that's going to be 19,000 square feet. The hearing examiner is the review authority for the conditional use permit under Title 21 of Kitsap County Code. The purpose of the conditional use permit is to provide a mechanism by which the neighbors and the surrounding community can provide input in an open record hearing, and then the hearing examiner can can place special conditions on the development of the land and the project. The subject property is located on the west side of the Silverdale commercial core, and that's east of Highway 3. It's located at 3700 Northwest Anderson Hill Road for the high school, and the middle school is located at 10130 Frontier Place in Silverdale. Access is currently from Buckland Hill and Anderson Hill for the high school, which is designated a minor arterial. And then the middle school receives Frontier or access from Frontier Road, and it is a local access road. And this is the designation is from the Federal Functional Classification Map for Kitsap County. The property is somewhat irregular shaped. As you can see, the high school is located down to the very lower corner, and then the middle school and the accessory structures are located in the northwest central. The bus facility is located at the very northeast corner of the site. The subject property is 59 acres in size. It's a fairly sizable parcel in Silverdale. So, and up in this corner over here is the there's a wireless communication facilities. It's a co-location site. The food warehouse and centralized kitchen is in this area right here. Right there. And then there's various student parking, staff and student parking, I think right here, and then over here, and then down here. It's definitely scattered across the campus. The campus is located on the top of a low ridge on the west side of Silverdale. The campus is predominantly flat. The ridge has moderate hazard slopes on its sides, going down to the Anderson and Frontier Road, and then down to towards Randall Way this way. Those are moderate, there's moderate slopes. The declivity of the site is from approximately north to south because there's an elevation change from here from about 100 feet down to this site, down to the very low portion of this property. There has been there's no wetlands on the property. There are some adjacent ones over 200 feet away from the site, over off of Randall Way. The topo illustrates as far as the slope of the property. It's very gentle, like it's pretty flat, and then the stair steps down. There's no evidence of critical areas on the property. There's a stream to the west, and the slopes are right along the property line right here. The property is zoned urban high, and that's 19 to 30 dwelling units per acre. This project far as the redevelopment would be a permitted use, but this project includes 5 acres of land inside the school campus. It's kind of it was a peninsula. It's about, these are residential homes. Those are to be removed, and that triggers the need for a conditional use permit. Go back one slide. So the property to the north is Urban High with residential units, single family residential units. The homes are at grade with the parking lot up here in the same zone. To the west is urban restricted because of the stream, and there is some Urban High. And they're at the elevation of the roadway. This is Regional Center to the east, and that's more of a commercial residential mixed use type zone. The proposal was reviewed for consistency under the design standards in Kitsap County Code, and that's 17.420.030. And the first one that's applicable is building height buffers and screening modification. The applicant is proposing to retain native vegetation along the east property line to provide a functional screen of the the residential properties here and the residential properties here. Along the north property line, there isn't vegetation to retain, so what the school district is going to do is they're going to augment screening along that north property line by installing solid wood panel fence and vegetation. Well, based on as I'll get into later, the applicant is going to retain natural vegetation along this property line to help screen these multifamily units along this property line. The next element is exterior lighting. The requirement is no more than one candle foot can relieve the property line. Staff requested a photometric map. Based on the proposal as it sits today, proposal does not exceed one candle foot at the property line. The proposal includes a stadium. This is the site. There's going to be a grandstands facing to the south, and they're planning to be covered. The applicant is proposing to use LED, high-tech LED lighting to focus the lighting prevent that spillage of lighting onto adjacent properties. The next one is screening of equipment and storage and refuse areas. This is a typical requirement for any commercial development. The proposal is consistent with those requirements. Came up with another project of similar type that the high school is in compliance. Access and circulation. The applicant is a pedestrian circulation plan. It's associated with the landscape plan, and it shows how students can access the high school and middle school via Anderson Hill Road. They can walk through the site, and there's clear connections for vehicles as well as students walking to the high school. This is a very good example of a circulation plan. They did a really good job. So that it's consistent with those requirements. One of the requirements too is that there's a requirement for a 6-foot sidewalk on Anderson Hill Road to improve the one that's there currently, and also include a 5-foot bike lane on Anderson Hill as well. The applicant has moved access points to help improve the flow of traffic on and off the site and move it, the access away from the roundabout that's located here on the west central part of it. Right there. There's a sign at the lower corner off of Buckland that hasn't been determined if it's going to be moved and when it's moved. Not know, but we just ask that there's the site distance and there's no clear vision zones are impacted by wherever they decide to put that. And there's a condition or comment related to other signs. The applicant providing off-street parking only. It's proposing about 580 spaces, which surpasses the need or demand based on Kitsap County Code. The school district's in compliance with that requirement. It includes parking for students, faculty, visitors, and also includes parking for special events, the auditorium, and also the stadium that will potentially have seating for up to 1,500 fans. One of the improved features of this site plan involves separating vehicular and bus traffic so they're not using the same drop-off points or pickup points. And this will greatly improve how the site operates and traffic circulates. So for landscaping, the applicant is indicating that the 40% of the site will be in landscaping. Like I said, the site is 59 acres in size, approximately. And there will be about 51 acres of site disturbance. So that 8 acres is mainly around the east property line. The requirement is that 15% of the site remains in landscaping, and they far exceed that requirement. As shown in the or indicated in the staff report, there is required to be a landscape buffer along that east property line, just be a screening buffer. And that would be right here. And so the screening buffer is going to play a significant role in how the stadium and the uses on this site will interface with these residential properties. Right now, the way the site plan is stating that there will be a 20-foot. But if under the Kitsap County Code, when you're trying to retain natural vegetation, you should have a 25 to 50 foot natural vegetation screen. So there is a discrepancy that needs to be worked out later, but in spirit, the school district is in compliance with that requirement. This is an example here. This is a cross section of well, so if you go to the upper left corner, that shows the slope and then the multifamily units that are on the east side of the property. It shows the 20-foot vegetation as far as a 20-foot buffer. But again, it shows the swap across the vegetation that's under the ownership of the school district. So it's going to be, in some places along Anderson Hill and Frontier, there'll be some retention of vegetation too. But along that roadway, that 20 feet is sufficient based on the relative uses. And then here's another example, another cross section that would be, I guess, would be further south of the one on the left, and it does show native vegetation being retained, but it does have this 20-foot buffer, and that should be amended on all our site plans. So everybody has a clear understanding what's going to be retained and how the project's going to be buffered from the adjacent residential neighborhood. So the next significant item about this project is the noise. The school district has spent a significant amount of time analyzing the potential noise impacts related to the school uses or school activities, and the conversion of the practice field to a sporting event facility for competition. Kitsap County Code Title 10 addresses noise impacts, and it requires that only 57 decibels can leave the property line. Based on the description, they propose football games, soccer games, there'll be marching bands, typical things that are associated with the high school. There's associated with the games, there's people, the crowd is yelling, the whistles and other types of noises that may impact those adjacent property owners. So here's a good example as far as what the noise consultant for the school district, their belief is that by the retention of these trees to some degree, and then the way that the dwelling units are situated, that hillside will provide a break, a line of sight of those noise that's traveling across that property. But however, go back here. However, staff's concern is that there might be this first row of multifamily housing along here will be maybe mitigated from having this hillside being right below. But staff's concern is that these other folks who live further down the line here, they're not so much screened by that hillside, per se. So we're taking, staff is recommending a wait-and-see approach and doing further analysis later as the facility becomes up and running. And the school district hire a noise consultant to do further analysis and see how things are being implemented and if there's any mitigation that's required. As far as it could be a split rail fence, solid wood panel. Believe it or not, those work pretty well. And to the very extreme, that's very expensive, is a sound wall. And that's, we at this point, that's not what staff is advocating. As there's a comments in the staff report that I'll get to that do talk about a sound wall, but right now we're not proposing or recommending anything like that. One of the mitigating factors is, since you have these people that are at grade with this, this area up here where there's going to be a ball field and tennis courts along here, the grandstand is orientated to the south, and they're recommending it be covered, and that should limit those potential noise impacts on those folks that live to the north. And that's included in their noise study. So the county follow proper public notice for this project, that the department did receive comments on this proposal, and the comments ranged on far as traffic impacts related to this facility, and there's concern about operation along the roadway as well as the intersections, and specifically around the roundabout, and how to deal with the peak flow of traffic during peak bell times. And the school district will go into further detail. And there are other neighbors who commented up along the north property line about noise. And then over here, noise and dust during construction, and then the neighbors to the south were concerned about noise, but they're more concerned about stormwater impacts. This is a private easement. It's unmaintained. It's not maintained by the county, and they're concerned about pedestrian access across their property and how to limit it to any pedestrian path going to the east. Which I maybe bring that up, is that the county and the community are working on a potential pedestrian or regional path going to the YMCA, but that has not, there's no specifics on
Where's
that.
Where's the, what direction is the YMCA?
It's down here.
Okay.
And there's a vacant parcel, and the property owner has expressed a desire to work with the community on that, but the details have not been worked out. So that was the other thing, was just making sure if that trail went into was installed, that there'd be mechanisms to prevent people from wandering onto the private property. And the county and the school district are cognizant of that, and measures would be taken.
But the concerns were on that this trail that is not part of this proposal.
Yeah.
At this. Okay, got
right.
It.
Right. So the county entered in issued an MDNS on this project, it's mitigated determination non-significance. We were co-lead in the State Environmental Policy Act, our lead agency.
I think it was an addendum. I don't have that, but so we'll need to get that in the record.
That's next.
Okay, all right. Jumping the gun.
Yeah. So there was, we only used SEPA substantive authority on noise and buffering, which Mr. Heacock will go into greater detail on. So so the property does incorporate the features that improve compatibility with the neighborhood, as which is required under the for the conditional use permit. There are measures to mitigate potential noise impacts, in which will be later studied. It does take into account as far as mitigation on traffic for public safety. And staff recommends approval with the 56 conditions. I'd like to bring to your attention on a condition, or I think it's
actually in this report, I think you said 56 conditions.
Yeah,
I think I've got 60. Maybe this is a renumbering of, on the revised staff report.
Okay.
So just make sure we're all looking at the same proposed conditions.
Oh yes, I see it. 60.
Okay.
So there are areas in this staff report where I kind of allude to requiring a solid wood panel fence along the east property line or a sound wall, but the staff is not advocating that.
Okay.
That's to be determined based on the future noise impact analysis that the staff would like to require. And there's a notation there where
does this go to the applicant? The applicant had a comment on the screening buffer. Is there comment? And you may not have looked at these comments yet, but is that comment distinct from this noise? This, that's a
yeah. We talked okay. about that yesterday.
Okay.
And they provided the memo to help clarify.
Okay. And so is DCD? Are you all comfortable then with this? Their comment. And again, I've just skimmed it while you were talking. But are you all comfortable with what they've outlined in here? Have they?
Yes.
Because it looks like there are comments on the revised staff report.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And then there's a, I think it's condition three, where I talk about the west west property line. In fact, that should be east property line.
Okay. It looks like they mentioned that in here, too.
Yeah. Next, I'll hand it off to, if there's no questions, I'll hand it off
not
to
Steve. Morning.
Good morning.
Your name for the record?
Steve Heacock, Senior Environmental Planner, and I do swear to tell the truth.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so the school district and Kitsap County performed a co-lead mm-hmm. in relation to SEPA, and so that particular procedure was implemented for this, just for clarifying purposes. The school district had provided a, what's called a SEPA notice of consultation that they did additional outreach. And we felt that was very beneficial in this particular case because, as a school district, obviously they are, through the government procedures allowed to be a SEPA lead for these kinds of purposes and outreach. You know, they're a government agency. And what we had determined a little bit later on through the process was that it would be beneficial for any kind of appeal purposes to have a co-lead status. And so we made that agreement and came to an agreement to be able to do that. So we jointly created a SEPA mitigated determination of non-significance. That was issued and is part of the record, issued on March 29th with an appeal of April 12th. We received no appeal. There certainly were a few comments, but no appeal. And what I'd like to read into the record is an addendum to that, because we did have, in further discussions with some of the interested parties, and the school district had met with some of those folks, we wanted a bit of clarifying language in relation to the operation itself. One of the primary components is in relation to traffic impacts and the use of a modified bell schedule, if you will, for both campuses, because they're both going to use the same bell schedule. So all the classes, et cetera, would be at similar times. But to clarify, what we wanted to discuss was a little bit of flexibility for the school and not to drill down exactly to an hour of right. separation or greater, because the bell schedule might vary between 50 and 55 minutes between each bell schedule. So what has been agreed upon would be that the high school would start first. Their hours of operation at this point is in a bit of a flux, but it's going to be between the hours of 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning when their start time is.
And they start about 7:30 right now.
I believe so, right. But because of the complexity of changing the campus schedules and things like that, they wanted to base the separation on the next bell. So they would have a bell schedule, the high school would open first, and then at the next bell schedule, the bell tone, that's when the next school, the middle school, would open. So what we did is a SEPA addendum to address that, and we were not very specific. Only in the detail of separating those particular class schedules, and because it's still something that the school is working out, as I understand it, and what we might do is ask the school district a little bit clarification on that. But that's as I understand. So what I'd like to do is just quickly read into the record the addendum itself. We'll provide it then as an item.
What do we, yeah, make
39, it, I think. Is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. okay, so this is dated April 12th. I'll further describe that addendums for SEPA purposes
I'm familiar with
are not about. Appealable. So, yeah. Right. So it's just read to the record for a clarifying purpose.
And it is in the record as part of SEPA. So yes. You don't have to read it in, but certainly.
Oh. Yeah, I think it might be helpful for the audience maybe okay. and just to read just real quickly in the. Just pop through this real quick. Just to clarify, we've got, obviously, we've shared co-lead. I've discussed that. We've done this under the WAC 197.11.600.4C as an addendum. This doesn't really change any other condition, only specifically to condition 19 that we had talked about. So just read. Here quickly, the joint MDNS provides a list of conditions for the project agreed to by the district and the county. Condition 19 requires the district to shift school start and end times so that only one school will start instruction between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m., the morning peak hour. This language was agreed to by the county and the district. However, a later condition under the traffic and roads condition 4, and that's located on page 6 and 7 of the MDNS, states the school hour shall be staggered to occur more than 1 hour apart. The intent was to reflect condition 19, but upon further reflection, both the district and the county agree that this condition is not consistent and is unworkable for the district. This addendum has thus been prepared to clarify the basis for and intent of the MDNS condition related to school start times and bell schedules. The MDNS SEPA checklist and revised traffic impact study are incorporated here by reference. Again, to clarify, we're just saying that condition 19 and the traffic and road condition 4, we want to create one new condition, and it's going to be the only condition related to school start times and bell schedules. And this condition is as follows. The school bell hours shall be staggered so that only one school will start instruction in the morning peak hour between 7 and 8 a.m. per the revised traffic impact analysis recommendations, thus to avoid overlapping arrival and departure site traffic, which would result in unacceptable level of service at the Northwest Anderson Hill Road and Frontier Place Northwest Roundabout.
It looks like that language exactly is reflected in proposed condition 43. In
yes,
the
yes, correct, right, et cetera. So we provided this as well to the interested parties list, just for purposes of clarifying the record. And then we have further details that are part of the project memo that will provide that kind of correcting language, if you will. And that project memo, I believe we have in the record now that you've reviewed or at least looked at. That is all I have at this point.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heacock. Anything else from the planning department at this time? Okay. Let's open this up to the applicant. Have you all add to what the staff report has said? Oh, Ms. Santos, did you? I'm just. Oh, help me. Okay, got it.
Good morning.
Good morning. Your name for the record.
My name is Robin Shoemaker. I'm the Director of Capital Projects representing Central Kitsap School District.
And do you swear to tell the truth today?
I swear to tell the truth today.
Thank you.
So we have a PowerPoint presentation we want to go through, and this is the agenda we have outlined.
Okay. Did you want to add that to the record, your PowerPoint?
We do want to add it to the record,
okay.
Yes.
So that will be exhibit 39 or 40.
I believe it's 40.
40, yeah. Okay.
So the agenda for today, I'll give a brief introduction, and I will turn that over to Lisa Klein, who will review our process and revisions, and then she'll return it back to me to talk a bit more detail about architectural and site design, and then Catherine Cassidy will provide greater detail on traffic and access.
Okay.
So I'd first like to start today introducing our team. Again, I represent the school district. I'm the Capital Projects Director, and Sydney Thiel is with me today. She is the project manager for this very large project.
And that's Ms. Derry. Okay.
So raise your hand. We also have with us Sam Schaefer from the architect, Integris Architect. And then we also have our contractor, Skanska, Brian Urban, representing Skanska, the general contractor construction manager for the project. And then we have a cadre of other consultants here available, both part of the presentation and to assist with additional detail as needed. Lisa Klein, who is our land use consultant, Catherine Cassidy of Cassidy Consulting. I'll make sure I get this everybody here. Doreen Gavin, who is here for civil and landscape. And then Michael Yantas from Stantec for noise. And I'm missing one. Maybe not. Maybe that's all of us here today. So we're all available to talk about and respond to questions as needed. So then I'm going to move into the purpose and need for the project. So as staff alluded, this school has been in operation starting in the 1940s. So there's been some activity, school-related educational purpose activity on this site since the 1940s. And then there was additional buildings constructed in the 50s and 60s. And then there were some minor revisions that came later as well. But the school buildings are quite tired. And when I arrived at the school district in 2011, there was already an intent to modernize Central Kitsap Middle School in particular, which had been suffering from considerable systems breakdown. And then we started to, as we started to think toward planning for Central Kitsap Middle School replacement, it was became quite obvious to us that we were not going to be able to touch Central Kitsap Middle School effectively without also considering improvements and how best to proceed forward with Central Kitsap High School, which was also a very tired facility. So we, as part of the lead-in to a 2016 bond, which was approved by the voters, we looked at the entirety of the site and how it might best serve students currently and going forward for the future. And so our board, our school board, actually outlined for us some goals they wanted to see us consider as we were looking at the planning. And the reason I mention these is because it is it does give credence to how we ended up laying the building out on the site. So I'll mention a few of those. I won't go through the whole list. But one of their goals was to minimize school-to-school transitions. And you will see as we go through this how we have co-located the two schools in one building. They wanted to expand learning opportunities. Again, Central Kitsap Middle School students sometimes need to go to the high school building for advanced placement classes, and so this made that more accessible to them. They wanted to increase connection to school. And currently, some of the athletic activities go to other properties in the central, in the school district for their athletic competitions. And this, what we have laid out here, is a desire and a path forward to have athletic competitions occur on this site to the extent we can, thereby increasing the students' connection to the school. Increase safety and security, and help families support child success. Again, hearkening back to facilities that would keep the students on that campus for other activities in addition to athletics was one of the goals, because we don't want to have to go off-site to other facilities. It's not as safe and certainly doesn't make that connection better and for the students or for their families. And then the last goal that I wanted to mention was to reduce reliance on portables. And as I go through the plan, you will see that there are some portables at both of these sites. So that's that addresses the purpose and need for the project. And as far as replacing the existing facilities, we had considered modernizing in place, but the cost of modernizing was equal to, or in some cases, almost exceeding replacement. And again, the facilities were not going to serve, since they've been constructed for the years they have, they weren't going to serve the purpose going forward for future educational delivery effectively. So the decision was made to replace those existing facilities. And again, that was approved by the voters via bond in early 2016. So next, attention to community concerns. We have tried since the beginning, even in advertising and marketing the bond, to inform the public as often and as consistently as possible about what the goals were. And as we move through the project, we've given opportunity for there to be community meetings. We've done considerable social media outreach, and as well as mailouts. And as recently, and specifically in our SEPA notification, we sent mailers out to not only property owners adjacent to the property, but we also sent to apartment dwellers that are adjacent to us, because even though they're not property owners, they are directly impacted by the school location. And so there was a community meeting held on December 6th, and we did have some neighbors attend, fortunately. So they were able to get a better eyes on the planned improvement. Not quite there yet. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we have, through the SEPA notification, had inquiries from some neighbors, and I'm glad to see three that we've met with here today. Mr. Shattuck is here today, Bonnie and Cordell Sunkel, and then Dawn Ruth is with us too. So we've had opportunity. They had called in during the SEPA comment period. We've met with them and on a couple of occasions in a few cases, and we've been able to, I think, answer their questions and give them more information about our project. So I'm now going to turn it over to Lisa Klein, who is going to review land use review and approval process.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name again for the record?
Lisa Klein.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do. Thank you. So before I get into the items on the slide, there are a few things that need to be entered into the record.
Okay.
And I'll just start with that.
So if I start with number 41.
Number 41 is a memorandum prepared by Cassidy Consulting, dated April 11th. And Catherine Cassidy will speak to this memo in her presentation.
Okay.
And the next is a spreadsheet that the district prepared. This spreadsheet lists the comments that were received during the notice of consultation period, and then it lists the district responses. This comment spreadsheet is on the district website.
Okay, that would be 42.
Part of our application, these two items were not listed on your exhibit list, so we thought they were important that you had them. One is that photometric analysis, so providing that.
Okay, so that will be 43.
Mm-hmm. And then the landscape plan and cross sections that you saw on the exhibit are also being provided for the
okay.
record.
So that would be 44.
And then the last thing for the record is an applicant response to the criteria for approval. This was prepared back in December when we submitted the application, but it did not get included in the record. We felt it was important for you to have it.
Okay, so that's 45.
So,
and I'm admitting all of those.
Thank you. So this was a different process than what is typical, I think, as far as SEPA goes, as mentioned by Steve, and I won't go, try not to repeat what he said, but we did initiate the process with the district performing as SEPA lead agency. And with that, we initiated the notice of consultation period, which provided the additional 30 days of comment, and we did received comments. We did prepare responses to those comments, and they did help inform the process and revisions that were made. We did enter into the co-lead agency arrangement. It was felt a good approach for all parties, including the public, less confusing for one thing, and culminating with the issuance of the SEPA addendum that was issued yesterday. As far as the CUP application, we originally submitted it in December 15, and the staff report lists out the various notices that occurred following that. As a result of some revisions that occurred to the site during that process, including some of the conversations that we had had with some of the neighbors, there were some adjustments that were made to the site, so we resubmitted in February 20th, revised site plan, some updated traffic study, and an updated noise study to address the comments as well as the site revisions. So we have reviewed the revised staff report, and you have a copy of the memo that we prepared responding to that. As Mr. Smith indicated, we did discuss it with him, and it seemed like we were all on the same page as far as those changes go.
I think that's Exhibit 38, which came in earlier.
That's correct, yeah. And so that was essentially the process. Other than that, the conditions of approval as written, we have reviewed and are in acceptance.
And those are the conditions 1 through 60.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So with that, Robin is now going to give you a little bit more information about the project and the site layout.
Okay. So I'm going to try to work this mouse. I know Steph is having a little challenge with it, but I'll give it a go. So this is the existing project site, as has been identified. And this is north on this top side, and then south, which is, so Buckland Hill is along the very south of our property, Anderson Hill along the west side running north to south, and then Frontier Place along the west running north to south. And in this particular graphic, as has been mentioned earlier, this is our current transportation bus facility. This is the location of our new Frontiers building, which was a middle school alternative program. And this is the location of the current middle school gym, and then the primary middle school building with some portables in this periphery. This is the centralized kitchen and warehouse facility. And this is the, it's kind of hard to see it in this ghosting, is the alternative West Alternative High School that has 233 students currently enrolled in it. And then there's a daycare portable in this area. And then coming on down in this vicinity is the Science Kits building, which is also housed. It's called the Science Kit building, but it has housed other staff functions as well. So currently Central Kitsap High School proper, which is on the south end, houses about 1,360 students. And then the middle school has about 719 full-time students. This site from the north side to the south side has a grade drop of about 100 feet. As has been mentioned earlier, it's somewhat in a tiered arrangement. So over time, as these as the properties have been developed, the areas have been graded to flatten out for fields and for site development. And so it kind of stair steps down as we move through the site, getting to the bottom, and of course, at the lowest grade. The current high school is a multi-story building, and it's a series of buildings that have been either added to or erected on their own over time. The middle school is primarily a single story building with some high areas for gym and other functions. So as we move forward in our proposed site, we will retain a new or replace with a new Central Kitsap High School that will enroll 1,400 FTEs, has been mentioned, and Central Kitsap Middle School 700 FTEs. But these other facilities that are checked here will be, the buildings will be demolished, and the uses either have been already relocated or in the process of being relocated. I believe the last one that will go out primarily this summer is the transportation, bus barn, centralized kitchen, and warehouse functions. That a new facility to house those functions is under construction on Dickey Road. So this encircles a few properties that the district has purchased over time. This was used to house our 18 to 21 year old population. And over on in this vicinity of the site, there were two properties, the south one, which was purchased some few years back, and then the north part of the property, which was purchased more recently. So the new campus, the new building, centralizes the shared and integrated facilities in this area. We're going to get into more detail about that on the next slides, but just loosely, this part of the building is the middle school. This is the middle school gym, and then the classroom area. This central core area is the auditorium here with the high school gym to the north. And then this is administration for both schools in this vicinity, the common space, which has the commons for eating, lunchroom, and then the library above. And then this is the predominant academic wing for the high school. So the Central Kitsap High School fields and access and support facilities are primarily located to the north side. And the Central Kitsap Middle School field access and support facilities are located to the south. We, after looking at this site considerably, we had planned to replace the middle school gym and incorporate it in this building. Actually, it was an auxiliary gym to the high school, which we had planned for. So there would have been a total of a middle school gym, an auxiliary gym to the high school, and then a main gym. We decided to, because as we zoned the site off and had the primary high school functions to the north, maintain the existing middle school gym because of its placement. And because it had still had pretty good bones, and it was a nice size facility, nice arrangement. And so it really gave us the ability to locate parking around it in the athletic zone as well. So it proved to be beneficial to retain that. And then the last thing I wanted to mention related to the site currently is that there's a plan that you recall that on the prior slide, the existing high school is down in this vicinity. We do plan for a future ball field and parking to the south. The timing is unknown. We fully intend to demolish the high school building, but in the bond that was approved at the time, we did not include it per se in the funding model. We're hoping our funding model overall, as we deliver our bond program, will allow us to proceed with doing this. And then, as was mentioned earlier, the project will be constructed in multiple phases. I believe 5 was mentioned. We have evolved that. We're actually looking at 7 phases just as we manage the work, and that is a dynamic model for construction. We're working with our partner, our GCCM partner, Skanska, to continue to refine that so that we make the execution of the project most efficient. So this is focusing in on the high school part of this. To the northeast corner is the new baseball soccer field. We have tennis courts in this area. We have a softball field here. We have a new synthetic turf football soccer field with lighting, with lights and seating for up to 1,500. And then we also are looking at the concession and storage restroom area in this zone here. The vehicle access for the high school, we have buses actually coming in from the north that will travel through here, will drop off, will circle back out and go back out this exit serving the high school. That is also the model that will serve the middle school for bus delivery of children to the site. Then we also have these access points into the parking area. We expect the parent drop-off will come in and come down to here for car drop-off and exit back out. We also have this driveway available. We're still looking at how we manage the traffic and signage on-site. So we may end up having, during certain parts of the day, some one-way traffic in and out, but we're still looking at those opportunities. At this point, we have identified, though, these driveways here, here, and here, serving the high school primarily. Again, I mentioned this is the CK High School gym and the shared auditorium. It is intended to be shared by both middle school and high school. And then this is the main entry to the high school. So we will, folks visiting the high school will be coming north on Frontier and coming in and actually entering through this main entry. So it's a bit of a different orientation than currently exists for the high school. This next slide then moves to the south zone part of the site more and focuses in on the middle school. So middle school entry is off of Anderson Hill. We'll come in here, we'll drop off in front of the school and exit back out. We do have roadway within the site for vehicular circulation to help manage loads as may be needed during higher crowd times or dependent on how we find parents drop off on the site and how many parents actually drop students off in general. We can have varying arrangements of exiting and entry into the site given the roadways that we have circling around the school and along this west side as well. The middle school will have the field that is currently used by the high school will become the middle school field, and it'll be a multi-purpose field. We hope that it will be synthetic turf in the beginning and under our cost model. Currently, we have it as a natural grass field, but we do hope that it will be synthetic turf with field lights. And all of these fields that we have identified in the plan have largely been identified as synthetic turf possibilities. And so all of those calculations and oversight done with that possibility in mind. So the building details being proposed for the middle school and high school building is 292,000 square feet of new space. The separate proposed CTE being career and technical education building, is about 20,000 square feet of new. Middle school gymnasium to remain is about 19,000 square feet. So all told, we have 331,000 square feet of space. So these get into some perspectives, some 3D perspectives to give an eye on what the school entry could look like. This is the Central Kitsap High School. You'll recall that I just mentioned that that entry would be coming in from the north. So as the drive, this is looking at the entry from the drive lane and approach as students would be walking toward their school from the northern parking area. This is the middle school entry. So this was the entry that came off of Anderson Hill Road and came up into the drop-off lane and parking for middle school students going into their part of the building. I might just go back to that a moment. You'll see we have a three-story building planned that will, and the first two floors really separate the middle school, more zone the middle school and high school, and they are joined by the common area, the tall common area that will serve the high school, and the middle school has its own common space. The third floor, which is up here, actually is a crossover between the two school buildings. So that what that did was provide some flexibility if the middle school population was larger one year and the high school down or vice versa, that we could flex back and forth between academic classrooms on that third floor. This is the career and technical education building. Again, this is looking in the courtyard zone. And let me just go back to that for a moment so I can show you where that is. So the courtyard zone, this is the CTE building. And this is the courtyard that's adjacent to the middle school commons. And we fully expect students to be out there after lunch shooting hoops or playing foursquare. So when I gave you the perspective I was just showing, we were looking kind of from this angle into the CTE building and it viewed down into the courtyard area. So I'll go back to it now. So this, again, is that courtyard that I was just referencing. And this is the middle school commons looking toward the south at this point. The CTE building is a lower hung roof and is a simpler construction form. And it is intended to be more utility type structure to allow for the functions that they want to deliver in education there. And this is an example. It's just one phase of the construction that we have, as I said, seven phases. We intend to start work in June of this year, and this central zone that's identified here is where fencing will be placed around, and so utilities will start to go into this space early in 17, and then we will start to move forward with some of the building demolitions. And then subsequent phases are equally detailed and continuing to be refined, as I mentioned, as we go forward. And the intent is the school would be, the middle school will be opening in spring of 2019. And the high school academic buildings will be opened in September of 2019. And then we anticipate continuing to wrap up other site work that may be needed on into early 2020 and just overall project closeout. So now I'm going to turn it over to Catherine Cassidy, who will talk about traffic and access.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Catherine Cassidy.
Do you swear to tell the truth today?
I do. Thanks. Oh boy. Well, this slide helps clarify some of the challenges with the existing pair of schools. There are multiple driveways serving the schools, whether it's the high school served by Buckland Hill Road and Anderson Hill Road with multiple driveways, or the middle school, which has a couple, at least two, three driveways for the middle schools from Frontier Place. And then, of course, a sprinkling of other driveways serving high school, serving common uses. There's a whole lot of traffic out there. Big duh. Anyway, right now, one of the challenges is that there's no separation for either school between bus traffic and parent drop-off or regular parking traffic. That creates some challenges during the loading periods, whether it's drop off or pickup in the morning and afternoon. that at times, certainly for the middle school in the morning, results in backups that extend not only onto Frontier Place, but can extend back to the roundabout itself for short durations, but that doesn't mean that there aren't frustrations with it. Let's see. Okay. It happened. Good. What I'd like to talk about with the existing, or I should say the proposed traffic and uses, goodness sake, spit it out, and access, is that, as has been mentioned before, there are several uses, district-wide functions and uses which have been or will be relocated. The high school access is a significant change. It changes from being combined on both Anderson Hill and Buckland Hill Road. It will be completely off of Frontier Place, which means all of the high school traffic will now traverse the roundabout. That's part of the design. The middle school access will shift to Anderson Hill Road, which can intercept some of the middle school traffic coming to and from the east. So this is the proposed access on Anderson Hill Road. What I'm saying is that of the traffic that right now comes through the roundabout and goes up to the middle school, it can be intercepted and get to the driveway.
So it'll take some of that traffic flow away from the roundabout.
Away from the roundabout. All of the current middle school traffic that goes through the roundabout will still come through the roundabout, but in a little bit more direct motion. But as I mentioned, all of the high school traffic is going to pass through the roundabout. That's a significant change. The separate bus access for both schools is going to be from Frontier Place down into a serving area to drop off and pick up the kids. That's great. That helps normalize the access for buses in particular. And then, of course, there are proposed frontage improvements with the 6-foot sidewalk and other treatments along Anderson Hill Road and Frontier Place. As has been discussed, the common bell times or bell schedule is important with this combined facility of two schools, and the offset to the start times is important. Our analysis was conducted specifically with an overlapping start time to illustrate what it could be. Okay. So just a real quick review of the traffic analysis. We conducted counts last year to count the traffic with the existing schools. That's for the middle school and the high school, the combined and the alternative high school. So the combination of those three amounts to about 4,400 trips per day, vehicle trips per day. The proposed traffic, site traffic for the middle school and the high school, is just a little bit less than that, at about 4380, something like that. So comparable amount of traffic. But the key for this overall, I'll call it pair of projects, the replacement of the two schools and the relocation of consolidation of the transportation and food services and warehouse function, results in a net reduction in district traffic on a daily basis. So back to my earlier comment, by putting the high school access to the north and the middle school access to the south, there's a resulting increase in traffic flow just on this segment of Anderson Hill Road. And with the common start times within the AM peak hour, that in my analysis, translated into a worsening of roundabout operations. One key comment, or I should say several comments, were received in December and January, which led to a reassessment of the traffic analysis and some revisions to the site plan as well as the proposal. So traffic comments received covered questions with respect to parent drop-off and pickup activities and whether this proposal provides enough space for that. Also included comments and questions about roundabout operation. And a third key point was address the driveway access for the middle school. Earlier editions of the site design had the middle school access, Anyway, the driveway access had been at the existing Windy Ridge intersection, which didn't provide much left turn storage for entry, and so the site frontage improvements and driveway were reassessed and redesigned to locate the driveway approximately 450 feet south and east of the roundabout to give more storage for entering left turns, because there will be a separate left turn pocket for that south to east movement from Anderson Hill Road, and also provide for the possibility of, with roundabout congestion, which occurs because of some off the picture type operations, this 450 feet provides for some possible storage of queue or backup from roundabout operation. So for traffic moving basically northbound toward the roundabout, it gives a little more ease between driveway operation and the roundabout. The site design for both schools includes approximately 400 feet of curbside loading available for middle school and for high school, along with an aisle, a traffic aisle adjacent to it, so other traffic can pass by the parked vehicles which are loading. So that's an improvement over conditions today. Let's see. As I mentioned, our analysis went through the combined start times for the schools within a common hour, which resulted in roundabout operation, which would fail the county level of service standard. Several options were explored, including the reconstruction of the roundabout, which, let me go back to Mr. Smith's comments about the location of the school. To the west and kind of south of the roundabout lies a creek area. I'm backing up here. Which is a sensitive area, and changes to the roundabout expanding into that were considered to be, I'll just call it a taboo, meaning it would there could be environmental impacts that would be make it very difficult to reconstruct the roundabout. It doesn't mean impossible, but difficult. The roundabout could be reconstructed to add a right turn lane, a separate lane. And as I mentioned, these options were explored by the team. And we also explored the separation of the start times. So an operational type of an alternative to help deal with the traffic impacts is what is proposed by the district. And with that change and separation of the start times of the two schools, the expected operation of the roundabout and the overall access is within the county level of service standard and expected to be in operate well, level of service D. So that's what I have to talk about traffic, and I'm open to questions.
Thank you. That was helpful. I don't have any questions at this time.
Lisa?
That actually concludes our presentation. And as Ms. Shoemaker mentioned, there are a cadre of experts here. If there are any specific details of the technical aspects of the project, we can answer those.
Okay.
I will open it up to the
neighbors. Yeah, I don't have any follow-up questions at this time, but why don't we open it up to public comment, and then you all will have an opportunity to address any comment that we receive. Let's see. Was there a sign? I don't think I had a sign-in sheet. Oh, right now? Okay. Go ahead and step forward, Mr. Heacock, or whoever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Your name for the record.
Candy Vickery.
And you swear to tell the truth today.
Yes, I do. I'd just like to offer a bit of clarification related to the memo submitted by the applicant today and the CEPA determination addendum dated April 12th. It seemed a bit of disconnect or not a good connect. The CEPA addendum refers to condition 19 and traffic and road condition 4. Those conditions numbers are from the CEPA determination, and I just want to clarify that staff, according to this agreement between the district and the county, what that really means to the staff report is revision of condition 43 under traffic and roads. So the county staff is proposing that condition 43 from the staff report be replaced by the language in the CEPA addendum.
It sounded like it was exactly the same.
It's a bit different language.
Slight difference.
Yes, and so we'd like condition 43 replaced with this language in the CEPA addendum.
All right. I have, here's the addendum. I've got it. So, okay. Was that all?
That's all I have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so we will go ahead and open this up to public comment. I have three people on this sign-up sheet, and then anyone else who wishes to testify that's not on the sign-up sheet may, of course, testify as well. But first up, I have Darrow Sheets. Good morning.
Darrow Sheets.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Huh?
You swear to tell the truth today.
Yeah. I'm kind of representing the people on the north side, which isn't really discussed too much in most of the stuff you guys are presenting. Everything is towards the Dahl Road and stuff. One of the concerns we have, and by the way, noise level. My house butts up against a bus barn. I wake up every morning to the buses, so noise to me is, I don't think you're going to run into the noise problem that you're talking about. The concern we have is every day right now, we currently, the people that live on the north side, know when and not to leave our house due to the buses and the parents dropping kids off. The concern we have over the next 3 years is when they start excavating and doing what they're going to do behind me for the next 3 years, emergency vehicles getting to our houses while these trucks are going in and out of this construction site. We are very concerned with the accessibility to fire trucks, ambulances, and getting to our house and our houses up there. Because currently right now, when the middle school lets out, we cannot get through from about 2 to 2:20. There's a 20-minute span. When they start running trucks in and out of there, on top of the kids going in and out of the schools, getting to our houses is going to be a timely event. And we are very concerned with the emergency vehicles getting in there. The other thing I have is over the next 3 years, I'm a Class B environmental cleanup specialist from the Department of Defense, which I worked for 3 years. My concern is the environmental cleanup of the bus barn. Currently, there's a project going on above the Oak Table restaurant with houses being put in up there. And over the last couple of weeks, we've had mud flows into the backyard. We've had fences that have been knocked down by the construction sites. My concern is what's underneath the asphalt. There was a racetrack there before, and of course, this is 2.5 years out. So I have a question to the county. Over the next 3 years, if we have questions, who do we notify? The school district or the county on any kind of environmental concerns? That's the question I have.
Okay.
Who would we contact?
I'll let the plan, after public comment is closed, I'll have both planning and as well as the applicant address that question. Okay.
And that's all I have right now. And like I say, our concern is getting emergency vehicles up to our street if there's a heart attack or something while all this construction is going on.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. Let's see. Oh, gosh. Corder Bomosankai. I completely mispronounced that. Oh, okay. Mr. Cordell, then. Did you wish to testify? Ms. Cordell. Step forward. And can you state your name again for the record?
Yes, it's Bonnie Sunkel. Excuse my face. So I'll do the best I can here.
And do you swear to tell the truth today?
I do.
Thank you.
First, we appreciate the community development and Mr. Smith and the CK School District taking our comments and suggestions. And one of the major things we had was drainage. Since Mr. Sunkel used to be in construction for many years, we've lived there for 52 years, and we know that it says the stormwater standards he upheld. But just like the fellow testified before, when there's construction above a place, there's drainage that will come down, and there's typically a little bit of drainage where it is. So we've had conversation with the school district about that. We have submitted our comments along with other suggestions and concerns, and to Mr. Smith. We hope that's made part of the record, and we've had good communication with the school district, with Commissioner Wolf, taking into consideration our concerns and suggestions, so we appreciate that. One thing, as I was listening to traffic, Dahl Road gets some vehicular traffic up the first part of it, and student walkers, most of them will enter the school property from the south, and a few come up our road and up through the woods. So the fences are important to keep them contained. And maybe there should be a pathway from the south end of the CK project up through the property to the school, because it'll be further inland, so to speak. And if it's not, if there's a pathway from that direction, they'll come up Dahl Road and try to enter the property further north, if that makes sense. But by and large, we have good avenues of communication open. We appreciate the school district, and we thank you for being able to comment.
And just to clarify, you live on the north side of the property?
On the east side.
Okay.
Dahl Road on the east side.
Okay.
Dahl Road, north west.
Southeast side, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then Richard Shattuck.
Well, good morning, Madam Hearing Examiner.
Good morning. And your name again for the record?
Richard Shattuck.
And you swear to tell the truth?
I do.
I think, did you have a comment, I think, in the record?
I did. It's Exhibit 12 to the record. It talks about my concerns with traffic. And what I thought I'd do is just spend a couple seconds just making a record, just in case things happen in the future. But this is out of the presentation made by the school district. I have a little law office that is, you look at the roundabout here, and it's just between the highway and the roundabout. I moved or started my law office back in 1997. At that time, there wasn't a roundabout. It was Old Frontier, Frontier Place and Anderson Hill Road. And to get to the middle school, you had to take a left-hand turn across traffic. Coming out, if you wanted to go south, you had to take a left-hand turn out of traffic. My office was the place where all the accidents went after that happened. It'd been great if my practice was a personal injury practice, but I'm the guy who kind of had to help people, okay, here we'll call the tow trucks and deal with all that. As a result of public outcry with the horrible problem with the left in, left out, the accidents, and the backup on Frontier Place, the county determined to put this roundabout in about the year 2001-2002. And that significantly helped reduce the accidents associated with that. So I saw the plan that the school district was putting together for the middle school access, who said, geez, what we've done is recreated the exact problem that was happening prior to the roundabout going in. We're forcing middle school parents early in the morning to take a turn across traffic to get to the middle school in a configuration that, frankly, is very, very similar to what was there with that Frontier Place. Wrote my letter, Exhibit 12, and I first want to thank the school district and the county for carefully considering the issues that we put in that letter. And as a result of that, Ms. Cassidy proposed some additional changes to the site. The access has been moved further south. A larger holding lane is available.
Do you support those changes?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Support those changes. Now, the concern, though, is we still have the problem of left-hand turns going across traffic, same sort of issue we've had before. The school district has been very open in meeting with me and with other concerned members with regard to the traffic. We've explored other opportunities and other options for addressing those and found they're difficult to address. We don't want to trade a science lab off for an unnecessary traffic improvement necessary, and I respect that. But what the school district has agreed within the various meetings is if we have problems at that intersection with people taking left-hand turns in or trying to take left-hand turns out, that the school district will first sit down and take a look at internal traffic flow patterns within the site itself, opening up drive areas. I think the school district in its presentation said that there were options available for signage, for allowing traffic flows within the site during problem times. And so here this morning, I'm not appealing. I just want to make my record that based on that commitment, that if we do have traffic accidents, if we do have significant drops in LOS as a result of that pattern, that the school district has agreed that it will consider and look at internal flows.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that was all I had on the sign-up sheet for those who wish to testify. Is there anyone else here? Step forward, please. And your name?
My name is Hank Anderson.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
Yes, I do. And I'm a resident of Silverdale, also a graduate of this high school. I'm a registered engineer here in Washington and in California. The school district has done an excellent job of planning for this project, and the work they're doing for design details is also excellently laid out as well, and I fully support this project.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here who wished to testify?
Good morning.
Your name for the record?
My name is Dawn Ruth. I swear to tell the truth.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I have been in contact with Robin and with Sydney and have attended one of the school board meetings. My husband and I live directly across the street from the main driveway of the middle school. And on the map, I believe it was Exhibit 18 that Mr. Smith showed, there were five blue blocks of the housing area, and right above that is our house, and I have a neighbor who lives behind us. And I'm speaking on behalf of my neighbors and representing those of us who are immediately in front of the junior high school. I have shared with Sydney and with Robin, I have a list of concerns that I have brought. When in the summertime, middle of the night, I'm a late night person, and I see cars going into the middle school parking lot. A car will go in, headlights go off. 2 or 3 minutes later, another goes in, headlights go off. 3 to 5 minutes later, one car will leave and the other car leaves. And I have a concern that these are drug deals that are going on. By the time if I tried to call to get 911, they would all be gone. There would be nobody there to look at. My concern with the potential of a walking path up from, let's say, the YMCA, what means will be used to keep unwanted people out, transients, delinquents, and those people who just don't respect private property, not only for the school grounds, but for our property. I have lived almost 15 years now. My husband bought the house in 96 before we were married, and I've lived there almost 15 years. And I have not yet seen security patrolling, at least not invisible cars or, you know, signage, visible security, at least for the junior high area. That is something that I would like to have addressed down the road by the school district and the county as to what types of security do they plan to have to keep drug dealers and buyers off the school grounds, and some type of a 24-hour surveillance system to monitor various facilities. Then another question I have, they're talking about a left turn lane on Anderson Hill, so that students as crossing over the, making a left-hand turn to go into the facility, is going to back up the traffic through the traffic circle, which will impact traffic coming off of Frontier Place as well. And how long will that construction be in place? What are we supposed to do when that construction is going on? Are we going to have to go all the way around Greaves in order to get to town, or go all the way down Provost and then drive all the way down Silverdale Way to get back into town instead of being able to access Anderson Hill Road and Buckland Hill? I don't see how the mitigation of having the junior high people entering off of Anderson Hill is going to alleviate the traffic problem when you're going from 700 and some students, I believe, at the junior high currently, to 1,700 students for the high school with the buses and the traffic and the students driving, and they're going to be using our road. And that also does bring up the problem, as one of the gentlemen mentioned, of emergency services. If they're got trucks and things entering and coming in and out of the high school or the proposed high school area to the north of our home, that could also impact emergency vehicles being able to reach our homes that are closer to the roundabout. So those are some huge concerns. I was told that during the bulldozing and digging of the fields and things in the back, that water will be sprayed to keep the dust to a minimum. But my concern is, what's going to happen if we have, like we've been having, all these winds and heavy breezes coming through on evenings and weekends with that dust? And when we have high pressure, the wind comes out of the north, which blows directly to our homes on the west side of Frontier Place. And I'm just concerned that it's going to be miserable for those of us who either own property or rent property on the street. It's going to, our cars, our yards, decks, everything's going to be totally coated with dust. And for my husband and me, we don't have air conditioning in our home, and we can't afford to have it put in, nor can we afford to move out. So we are stuck. And the only respite we have during the hot summer months that we've had the last couple summers is to have our windows open and fans blowing and our doors open. And if the dust is blowing from the raw land, we're not going to be able to do that. And it's going to be absolutely miserable, and there will be no relief for us. I know that the softball field is going to be built across the street diagonally from our home. I was told in the future they could have a lighting system and PA system at that softball field, which brings up issues for noise and light. Is there going to be some sort of a natural buffer of trees or some other type of shielding from some of the light and some of the noise that's going to be occurring there? And I know that there's at least two tennis courts with potential of a third one to be built just past the softball field to the north side of the softball field. And I was also informed that it's potential that the public might be allowed to use both the tennis courts and the softball field. And that brings a concern that will the public having access to these facilities will bring in a large number of people who would never otherwise have reason to be in our neighborhood. And what protections are there going to be put in place as far as surveillance and security, et cetera, to protect our homeowners and renters from potential property vandalism, burglary, breaking and entering, and even possible personal injury? What rules and regulations will be in place to ensure that the public will only use the school driveways and parking lots and not park on Frontier Place in front of our house or the other homes or down our driveway? That's a shared driveway with my neighbor behind. And will there be any way to screen parents, students, and visitors and facility users from carrying weapons on the school grounds? With all the shootings that are taking place, now I have a concealed weapons permit, as does my husband. We are law-abiding citizens. We've never had to use our weapons. But there are people who don't care, and you get someone irate, maybe a former student or a parent or a friend who just goes off the deep end. We don't need someone getting shot and shots going wild and randomly hitting our homes, et cetera. So this is a huge concern. Things are not getting better in that realm, and the shootings are becoming almost a daily event, and we don't want that happening in our neighborhood. The other thing that's going to be a problem is that my husband works a swing shift at the shipyard, and there are people who live next door to us who work at the shipyard and are active duty military. And they do work different shifts. And I call it insufferable noise of beeping trucks and machinery when they're backing up, or just the sound of the equipment starting up early morning hours. If we can't have respite to cool our homes down by opening our windows, it's going to be very hard for sleeping. I don't know that anything can possibly be done about that. It's just something I think we're going to have to live with. But it is a concern, and I want these mentioned. And unless we keep our windows and doors closed, even during extremely warm weather, homes will be invaded by the engine exhaust, both diesel and gas engines, noise pollution, dust, and what other noxious fumes will be generated. I'm not looking forward to the next 3 years at all, and I can assure you that I do share this sentiment with some of my neighbors. And if anyone would be interested, I'd be happy to share my document that I have written up. I have contact information on there and the concerns.
Did you want to enter that into the record?
I would like that, please, okay. If that would be possible.
So I think that would be Exhibit 46. If you could give that to Ms. Santos.
Certainly. I believe that's all that I have right now.
Just to follow up on the pathway to or the that's being considered to the YMCA, I don't believe that's before me. It was discussed earlier, but I don't think it's my understanding that it's not part of this particular proposal.
Right, not at this time, but down the road, if that is something mm-hmm. that's put in, I'm hoping that sufficient detours or bars or something, some way of keeping unwanted people coming up into our neighborhood, not only for us on Frontier, but the folks who live in the housing area to the north of the school. This is a huge concern, and I heard them speaking about students walking across their property and things. We've been very fortunate in the length of time that I've lived there that we've had no problems other than traffic. And there are times, two times a day, that you cannot get in and out of your driveway because of the school. And again, going back to what I mentioned about the high school, with a greater number of students and those students driving and the teachers and the buses, that I don't see that is going to alleviate any of the traffic issues for us trying to get in and out of our homes during two times. We can't have deliveries come anytime when the school's either starting up or the students are leaving, and it's a problem. And so hopefully that these things can all be worked out. I've really appreciated this opportunity to speak with you and share my comments, and also for the time that Robin and Sydney have taken for my husband and me. We've met personally with them, and that they're trying everything that they can. And this is something we all have to work together with and try to come up with the best ideas that are going to help everybody involved. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else here today who wishes to comment? Okay. Let the record reflect that there is no one else who's indicated a desire to comment today. I think what we'll do is take a brief 10-minute break and then reconvene, and both planning and the applicant can address any of the comments that have come up. I may have a couple questions myself. So, thank you.